Yo, what's up everyone, and welcome to the 14th episode of the Sad Nauz CDH podcast, Planar Chaos. I'm your host, Kian, otherwise known as Varlis, and joining me as always is my co-host, Adam, better known as Poppy Phobia.
What's up everybody?
Today we are joined by some very special guests, Chaos and Foss, the TOs of Chaos Tournaments. For those of you that are unaware, Sad Nauz is sponsoring Chaos 4, an entirely free and proxy-friendly CDH webcam tournament with an actual prize support. Chaos and Foss are here today to talk all about it. But before we get into that, Adam, I think we have a few triggers to resolve in our upkeep.
Yeah, thanks, Kian. So, to start with, we're going to shout out all of our high-tier patrons. Thank you to Usable Object, Senator Tom, Cold Ramen, and Geo Justin. The support from everybody has been absolutely amazing, and it helps us to continue to keep making these amazing episodes. For the next trigger on our upkeep, though, I'm going to hand it to our guests to talk about what they're here to talk about.
So, Foss and I are here to talk about the Chaos 4 tournament, which is sponsored by Sad Nauz, thus why we're here. But it's a super sweet, free-to-enter CDH tournament, proxy-friendly. So you can print out all your cards, and there's going to be a ton of prizes. I think we added up like over $1,000 worth of prizes, which is crazy for one, a free tournament, and two, an online tournament.
Yeah. So if you guys want to enter into Chaos 4, we're going to put the website to Chaos Tournaments in the description below, so you can check it out and sign up. I believe the tournament is going to take place September 10th, and you just have to sign up before the tournament starts, basically, in order to be entered.
As long as you're there before 10 a.m., was it September 10th, 10 a.m., as long as you show up, you'll be good.
Awesome. And then finally, don't forget to smash that like button, hit subscribe, and for those of you listening on any podcast platform like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please make sure you leave us a review and a rating as it helps us to reach new audiences. Now to move on to our main phase. So for today's topic, we are going to discuss all things regarding Chaos tournaments. And who better to discuss that than the TOs themselves, Chaos and Foss. So we hope to explain to new players into the CDH community what Chaos is, how these tournaments help grow the community, and the problems that arise with webcam tournaments, and plenty more. And lucky for you guys, Kian and I are top-tier interviewers, so this should be a good time. So let's get into it. Kian, do you want to ask the first question?
Yeah, sure. So starting off, many of our audience or people in general don't know who you guys are. So starting off, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and how you're involved with like the CDH community or just the Magic community in general?
Hey, I'm Foss. I've been playing Magic for a very long time. Recently, me and Cass started this tournament to get players more active in the community. And we really enjoy it so far, to be honest with you.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think I've been playing about as long as Foss, give or take. We're both old men. But yeah, most of this just started as trying to, you know, get the community together and get more people just playing the format in general. And then it kind of just turned into, hey, let's try a tournament. Let's do another tournament, you know, and it kind of snowballed from there. Yeah, it's really cool.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, like tournament play is something that I think that me and Kian are really interested in. We play a lot like locally, but I think local tournaments are a lot different than
webcam tournaments.
Not so, even webcam tournaments, just tournaments in general, like large scale tournaments in general. You're kind of in a very inbred meta when it comes to like playing at your LGS and shit like that. You don't get a lot of experience, especially not real like comp REL experience. So it's really cool to see like you guys kind of cultivating that in an online space in particular. Mm-hmm. Speaking of an online space, do you guys want to explain like what Chaos Tournaments actually is for people that may not know?
Basically, at least for the time being, you know, we do probably a tournament every like 6 weeks, give or take. CDH, 100% proxy friendly. So you can have your whole deck as proxy. So that's another really good like entry point for people is as long as you can get to a printer, whether it be your own or library or a friend or work or whatever, that's literally all you need to play is a printer and I guess a pair of scissors. But outside of that, that's it. And there's like all these crazy prizes. you know, giveaways, and we you know, there's a stream for people to watch, and it's really just a, you know, getting people more involved in the CDH community, because it's maybe not, I don't want to say it's not as big as, like, you know, people that play Modern or something like that, but it's a little less well-known, I guess you would say. Like, everyone knows about Modern, everyone knows about Standard, but, like, CDH is this kind of, like, niche community that basically we're just trying to spread to the world, like, okay. Happiness.
So, like, what,
yeah, exactly.
What sets you guys apart from, like, if I wanted to start my own, like, webcam tournament, what makes me want to join a Chaos tournament instead of trying to start my own?
Oh, do you see these faces? I mean, come on. No, honestly, most of it is we have a really good support base. And what I mean by that is we have a lot of people who donate cards, donate time, whether that be judges, streamers, stuff like that. Sealed product, you guys, as a prime example. Yep. And stuff like that. We have a really good support base. And with that kind of support base, we're able to do free entry, which is, again,
huge.
Proxies huge. Plus free entry is, you know, there's not a lot of people that, yeah, it's kind of unheard of. Yeah, there's not a lot of people that can offer both of those generally. And with the ease of you can play at your house. You know, you don't have to leave your house.
You don't have to drive 8 hours to go play somewhere.
Exactly.
With
yeah.
A bunch of sweaty nerds. You know,
FNM is great and all, but they generally don't have, you know, CDH. It's almost always you have to pay to play. You have to smell the smelly nerds, you know, and all that. And you get to avoid all of that this way. It's great.
You get the best. You get the best of, not the worst of, when it comes to
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
So when it comes to, like, webcam tournaments, I think that a lot of people can get not kind of, like, thrown off by it, right? Because I think you see a lot of discourse where people are surprised to hear that anybody's actually hosting a webcam tournament, specifically a webcam tournament that has prize support with no entry. So some questions that I think that a lot of people ask is, what are the actual rules and restrictions of a tournament like this? I think specifically, not just like obviously we know what the rules are, right? Because, like, Magic, the rules are pretty synonymous throughout the game. But when it comes to webcam play, like, what rules set webcam tournaments like Chaos aside from a regular comp REL tournament?
So the biggest thing about a webcam tournament is it's hard to regulate the rules and restrictions just because we're not sure. Present at the table. So we can't always tell if your hand's your actual hand or you got something off to the side, for example. So we're very strict about keeping the cards on the table because it is, a free-to-play format. That there are prizes at stake.
Yeah, there's actual money.
And there's actual money. And it's still very difficult to organize so many people on Discord as well. It takes a lot of effort of everyone involved. And our judges are amazing. And same as our moderators on the Discord.
It's taken a lot of time and people and effort to find a good system, you know, to get all the players in one spot, get them all into pods, you know, have enough judges, have a system to get the judges to the players and, you know, and all that.
Luckily,
only the two of us have to worry about that, not everybody else.
That's good, at least. I'll add a caveat to this question, Ashley. Is there a place that people new to this tournament, new to Chaos, can view, like, the guidelines? Do you guys have that posted, like, in... like a document somewhere, or, like, you know, like an easy to find place that someone could find?
That's actually a great question. Our website, which will be in the description, if you go there, there'll be a bunch of links on the homepage, but outside of that, the navigation at the top, you can go to see all the information for the tournaments, to sign up, and then within the tournament document, you know, there'll be, you know, the rules set, the Monarch IPG, which is, like, extra rules for multiplayer, and basically everything involving the rules of the tournament. Like, the biggest thing, since this is not in person and it's on camera, the biggest thing is keeping all of your cards, your hand, your library, your graveyard, everything on the battlefield, everything on the camera at all times. Because without doing that, people can move stuff and it gets kind of crazy. So, you know, while it is competitive REL and, you know, there's game rule violations and, you know, all that stuff that normally comes with competitive REL, the biggest thing is keeping all your stuff on the camera, because once that goes out the window, you know, that's when the judges are like, all right, we got to give a game loss. We got to that's the only way we can avoid all kinds of issues is being super strict.
So
it's the only, yeah, exactly.
Well, and that was probably like the hardest adjustment for me as a player, because I've played in multiple Chaos tournaments like leading up to this, and like that's the biggest adjustment is like, oh shit, like how do I play and keep my fucking hand like visible while also you know, not revealing information, because like you don't want to bleed. But once you get into it, it's really easy,
and yeah, it's
really
totally fun.
Yeah, and it's really easy to play like that, and then you start worrying about the people you're playing with, because then you're like, hey, make sure your hand is on the table, because I'm doing my part to prove to you that I'm not doing any funny business.
You better be doing your part.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really the only thing that we're like really. We have no choice. We have to be very strict on that rule, because otherwise, you know, there could be. I'm not going to go through all of the scenarios, but there could be so many different issues. You know.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you get. Mess around with your camera, get the right angle on spell table, you're good to go, and then you don't really have to worry about it anymore.
For sure. Yeah. So, like, how many actual players do you have in this event? Like, from comparing, like, from your first one up to your more recent one, and, like, your hope, like your projection for future ones? Like, what's the spectrum of players?
I think for the first tournament, we had... I believe it was 92. The first one, I think, was 92. Second event, we had 98. We were too short of 100, which sucked.
So close.
And then the third one bumped up a lot. I think we were at 112 for the third one.
Yep.
So obviously, you know, we're trying to reach out more, you know, to more communities and people we know, and, you know, Reddit and you know, hanging out with you guys and stuff like that. I don't want to say hoping, because I can almost guarantee we're going to get more players in the last event.
You're confident.
But ideally, I'm pretty confident we're going to get more. It's just how many more?
Mm-hmm. How many more?
Yeah. Our projection is we hit 200, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think would be like the biggest CDH event, like, paper or webcam, I think, for specifically CDH. But that's the ideal. That's like the projection, I guess you'd say.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that we all are like in agreement that it'd be really cool to like hit that milestone, because I think like even like people are talking right now about like the new tournament that's going on in paper in LA, and like they're capping it at 200 players, but it's like no tournament's ever hit 200 before. So to get there would be really cool, specifically in a webcam tournament. And especially like a webcam tournament with like a decent prize support. Cause like there's,
and free.
Yeah. And free. Exactly. I mean, there's no entry. It costs you nothing.
A big point.
Let's just get 200 people.
You just
to
have
sign
to show up.
Yeah. So that'd be like, I think that'd be like a really good time. And I think that there's like no better place to do it than with Chaos, because you guys were kind of alluding to it earlier, but the way that you have your tournament structure set up, it's pretty like top notch for what it is. You guys have like the tournament room, right? Where like everybody comes in, everybody's only listening, and you guys are talking and explaining the rules, explaining how the day is going to go, explaining how rounds are going to work between every round. You guys are having conversations with all the players involved, saying like, hey, these are how points work. This is where your standings are. This is how it's going to go. And it's like very well organized for something that the majority of people might interpret as hectic. Because it's really not that hard when people are playing for money to rail in 100 sheep, you know what I mean? And like guide them to the grass. Like, so it's, I think you guys do a really good job of organizing a tournament when it comes to like webcam specifically.
Yeah. Sure. We try to keep it like, I've played, you know, competitive REL, the old Star City events, GPs, you know, I did all that for so long. That, you know, going into this, I was just trying to make it as close to that as possible. You know, you get everybody together in one room, you have a nice little player meeting, Luckily, we have Discord, so we can make everyone not talk instead of yelling at a big room of people. Hey, please stop talking. Yeah. So, so that, you know, we're trying to keep it more like I don't want to say a real event, because obviously it is a real event, but like an in-person GP or something like that. Yeah.
And I think,
but, you know, try to be more inviting. And the other thing too, that we can do with Discord that they can't do is, they have like the little hand raise button to like ask a question, so you can actually have players asking questions in the player meeting, which isn't really a thing in person.
Yeah. And I think you guys are more like, to Adam's point, you guys are like concise, right? You guys have everything done already. So like when I want to know my tournament standings, all I got to do is go to a place to look. I don't have to go around and ask, you know, because like some like IRL tournaments, you go, you're like, all right, where am I? It's not on the board. The judges don't know what the fuck's going on here. Okay. Everybody's idiots here. Okay. I'm in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, 8 hours away from my house. I don't know what's going on.
And then they'll post it on like 6 different sheets around the whole room.
Yeah.
So like, oh, well, the letters ended here, so I'm on the next one, but where's the next one? Cool.
And then they don't put like the name brackets. It's like A through D, and then they don't put the other stuff. So you're like, what's going on here, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we try to make it nice and easy. You know, like, here's the standings channel. Here's the pairings channel. Here's where you ask the judges a question. Like, it's very streamlined, very easy.
And I feel like Discord helps with that a lot, because like
it does.
The Discord helps, has like the specific channels like you go and hurts too. Like you go to the channel, you're like, all right, this channel is only for this. And I think that's like a tool starting to get utilized more, especially in like tournament organizing and tournament play, because you go there to this certain Discord for the tournament, and you're like, okay, this is what I'm doing now, and this is where I get to find it. So,
I like it. Even in-person tournaments now use Discord as a way to communicate, because it's just so simplistic and easy. But something that you mentioned that I really want to touch on is how you guys utilize judges in your tournament, because I think that everyone is so surprised when they see how judges are utilized in a webcam tournament. I remember I was showing some of my friends, like, hey, because like we've been promoting the tournament like IRL at our LGS and stuff, like, hey, if you got a webcam, like, you got to check out this spell table tournament, because it's going to be crazy. And they're like, how do you ask a judge, like, when you need a judge call? And I'm like, it's actually surprisingly easy, because you guys have that judge chat, and all you do is ping the judge with the pod number that you're in, and the judge just pops into your pod, and like
super
just like
a regular, easy
just like a regular tournament. It's like you raised your hand and yelled judge, and the judge asks the person who raised their hand, okay, explain to me what the situation is. It's
And again, a lot of that was that philosophy of, let's try to keep this like a real event, that, you know, obviously not everyone that comes in and plays you know, has played in a large scale event. But on the flip side, a fair amount of people have. So it's very easy to just be like, all right, well, instead of raising your hand and yelling judge, there's literally just a chat that says judge call. And you say, you know, at judge pod 5, and they just come right in and, all right, what do you need?
Yeah. And just nice like and a simple. Regular, yeah. And just like a regular in-person event, the judges are, you know, actual judges, so they're prepared to answer and help you with anything that you have. And these judges specifically are experienced with webcam play, which is like super beneficial, because like they can answer any question you have about shit like, how do I resolve a Praetor's Grasp, or how do I go through an opposition agent? And it's like, okay, well, bear with me, but I'll explain to you how we do this, right? And it's like, it really helps, because I think for players that aren't used to webcam play or don't play over webcam a lot, it allows them to, it puts some, puts them at ease a little bit, right? Because like some of that stuff can be really intimidating, right? Like something like, hey, I want to search my opponent's library. How the hell do I do that without revealing that information to other players? It's like, well, it's really hard, and the best way to do it is just like this. And like, you know, explaining that and saying like, I get that this might not be what you wanted to hear, but it's how it has to go and stuff like that. And also just being judges in general, right? Like just being kind and courteous and like, there to help you. They're not there to call you on a GRV.
Yeah, exactly. Like the judges that we have like an awesome group. They do IRL events as well as webcam events. So they're super experienced in both. They're like some of the nicest people legitimately that like you'd ever meet. Like they're all of them just do this just out of the kindness of their hearts. Like, they, I mean, we still do compensate them because, like, we want to, but the first couple events, and they've even said afterwards, like, you don't have to give us anything. Like, we're here just as a community member, just for the same reasons that people are playing. They're doing the same thing, just reverse. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, I can't stress enough, like, in these kind of events, and even IRL events, any event, all the judges are there for is to help you, like, with any kind of issue or question or whatever. So there's, like, you should have no hesitation to just call a judge for you. I don't want to say for anything, but pretty much anything. Like, they're there as a resource. Like, you know, they're there like you have a bottle of water that you need to stay hydrated. They're, you know, they're there for a similar reason to, you know, they have to help you live in this tournament, you know?
Yeah.
Questions, concerns, like anything. Like, they are way more than happy to, like, come help you.
Yeah, it definitely minimizes walking time, but maximizes argument time.
That's true. Yeah. Well, like, that's true.
A fun thing that I always try to remember is, like, a judge is not there to help you lose the game. They're there to help you to survive another turn. So, like, always call a judge and ask when you're unsure. And they're not there to give you a GRV. They're there to help you to resolve an issue. So, mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool that the judges that you guys have are volunteers. They all want to be there and want to be judging because they want to be a part of this experience, right? Webcam tournaments, it's something new. And, like, if you want to get all weird with it, this is the future. So, like, you know, there's probably going to be... there's going to be more of this kind of stuff coming up. So, like, to be the pioneers of it, like Chaos is, people want to be there and want to be a part of it. And I think most of your staff is volunteers for the most part. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, pretty much. And another thing that you mentioned, like, this is the future or whatever. Wizards bought Spelltable, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Like, they own Spelltable now. I don't think they're buying that to, like, bury it under the ground. So,
I think for the next question that we have too is, like, we were bragging earlier about all this money that's being thrown into the prize support for this tournament. Do you guys want to kind of talk about, like, what we've got prepared for prize support for Chaos 4?
Well, I can make this super easy. Do you want to hold up some cool cards?
Oh, I got some cool cards here. I was debating if I have to turn on my light or not. But I think this is what we got for... Oh, man, the glare is bad.
It's a nice glare. There you go. Oh, that looks nice.
Yeah, this is what we got for first place. Yeah, so that's a...
It's a hell of a prize. It's a hell of a... For a free entry, like, that's a sweet prize if I paid $20 to play. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, let alone just showing up.
We played a tournament in our local area where it was $50 and first place was a Wheel of Fortune.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I bet they didn't have giveaways and pay out the top eight either.
No. And you had to go somewhere besides your house, so, you know.
Yeah. These are two other cards that we got for this tournament. So we got Melrod and a Humility. And then some other cool stuff is, oh shit, I got this briefcase locked up.
Oh no, you gotta break it open.
No, we got some, like, sealed secret layers. This one is the Walking Dead secret layer.
Oh, that one's sweet.
And this is just for top four. So I know that, like, I just hit my mic. I know that we're prepared to do, like, payouts for top eight, even top 16, and then, like, also a bunch of cards for giveaways. I mean, I got a whole freaking stack of cards right now, like, just, like, of all different types of.
Yeah, we got a stack.
That's a cool card.
Show them that to Fairy.
This one that's upside down right now.
Yeah, show them the upside down one.
The steel, the stained glass.
Oh man, that thing is so cool.
Yo, Scorish is probably gonna win that, deadass.
We gotta tell you guys about this. We got a guy in our Discord. His name is Scorch. He's awesome. He's been like a patron since day one. Dylan is amazing. But we do a ton of giveaways on our channel. We do like flavor text giveaways. Yep. We do like subscriber goal giveaways and Discord member giveaways and stuff like that. And Scorish for like the longest time was the only one winning the giveaways, like winning every single giveaway. And then we recently did one where when we hit 150 subscribers, we did a big giveaway and we gave away a collector booster of Double Masters. And of course, out of like 50 people, Scorish wins the collector booster.
That's amazing. It's almost like our head judge, her name is Looter Scooter. We allow our judges to enter the giveaways too, because, I mean, why not?
They're there.
And yeah, it's just like the same thing. She wins like two things every tournament. Every single one.
I was super happy the first Chaos tournament that I played because like I got bounced in the first round. I think I took 18th place. So I missed cut to top 16 by two people. But I didn't win a single game. I had one loss and three draws.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh wow.
But that was just because like of the way that the tournament was structured, like the people that were winning kept winning. And so like draws were enough points where like, it got you close enough. And, but I still won a giveaway and I was like, this is awesome. Like I entered this tournament for free. I dedicated
some time. I didn't win
a
game. I still got a prize.
I still walked away with $25. I was like, this is awesome. Okay. Now like, I get it. I get my people like this. Yeah. And that's like, that's something too, that I don't think people know is like, you don't have to just win your games to win prizes. If you just show up, like you can win stuff, and that's awesome.
Yeah, we have giveaways on the stream and on the Discord after every single round. So there's like, we probably have, I don't know what, 15, 20 maybe, 15, like different things, there, yep. Different giveaways, different things to choose from. Like, yeah. Just for either hanging out on the stream or hanging out in the Discord. Like, you know, there's, I think, I forgot where I put them, but I have like a foil Draenith and like stuff like that, like just for watching the Twitch stream, like, and that's a sweet card,
yeah,
for a foil and a foil one too.
Yeah, that shit is sweet. And like, awesome. Yeah. I think for us specifically, since we're the ones providing the prize support for this tournament, we really wanted to like make it something special. So I know that like, we have, not only do we have like cards, because like, you know, what you guys are known for is the singles, right? Like you come play the Chaos tournament, you got a chance to win some sweet singles. But we're also giving away like fun stuff that you may not normally see at a regular tournament. So like for us, we're giving away two of our playmats. We're giving away a bunch of sealed double masters packs. We're giving away some custom proxies that are being made like custom for this tournament, which is sick because like, not a lot of people do that. And it's not like, you know, the typical like, oh, we're going to give away, you know, like
a Black Lotus.
Not even that, but like, like some people have like a bunch of like regular tokens, right? So you get like treasure tokens and things that are
like these here.
Yeah. You guys have some signature tokens. Yeah. But we're giving, this time around, we're going to give away actual proxies of playable cards. So, like, reserve list proxies that, like are cool and custom art that you're only going to get if you are a part of this tournament. Because we're not going to produce these for anything else. Like, it's just, like, between Chaos and Sadness, which is really cool. And then, so I think, like we said, we totaled it up. It's like over $1,000 of prize support. We got two secret layers, pre-cons, play mats, cards, like singles. It's a ton of shit. So,
and the prize support is not going to go down. The only way it can go is up. Like I think once we're almost certainly going to hit the 100. So we agreed at 100, we'll pay out the top 8. If we hit 200 players, we'll pay out the top 16. So this is only what we have right now. If we hit that milestone of 200, we're going to add even more stuff. And knowing us, if we get 200 players, we're going to throw in more giveaways and more all shit, kinds of more stuff. 100%. Easily.
I can't see it because the lights are off in my room, but I got a whole stack of cards over there that I'm just not playing in decks anymore that can go into giveaways. Yeah. And like,
I got a box of stuff too.
Same.
No, and I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, so speaking of the players, how has the community as a whole, not just players, I guess I shouldn't have said that. How has the community responded to Chaos tournaments, and how has that made a positive impact or negative impact on the events you guys host?
I think it's had a really good impact on us. After the first tournament, it was amazing afterwards. We had so many people thanking us for the tournament, everything that happened. People were happy to see the prize show up. People posted what they were getting from the prizes and everything, when they got them, all that stuff.
They were doing, like, unboxing, like, maybe not videos, but they were doing, like, unboxing, you know, pictures and posting, like, hey, we got this in the mail. We got our prize. We got their tokens.
Super, super good, honestly.
Yeah. And again, a lot of this, the reason why we started it is to just get people more involved and playing more, you know, CDH in general, but also, you know, playing online more. Mm-hmm. You know, a random plug, but we usually play on the CDH Nexus, and that was most of the reason why we started all this, is because the amount of players that were playing was pretty low. And man, I'll tell you, we did the first tournament and there were pods firing like crazy on there. Like you'd get on there like after work and there'd be like 3, 4, sometimes 5 pods playing at the same time. And that was crazy. And that was the whole thing, was just, you know, getting people more involved in the community and, you know, playing.
I think it's worked too.
Yeah. I was going to say on that note specifically, I think something that like happens a lot in the Discord community is Discords tend to die out after a while. And like that's it's a really hard thing to combat, especially as like a Discord owner. Like you, the last thing you want is your Discord to start to go and die. So it's really cool to see something like Chaos exist where every month or every other month you guys have this date set aside. It's like, hey, we are competing at the highest level for some prizes and like come and play and let's get as many people together as we can. Because it's one of the few times you can actually go somewhere that isn't like the r/CDH Discord, now known as the CDH Discord, where you're going to be able to fire pods for 5 or 6 hours at a time. And something that I think is really cool, like what people really like about LGS is when you go play Commander, is that you're paying your LGS to go find pods for you because it's hard to meet people and play. Well, with Chaos, essentially, it's free and you guys are providing a space to play competitive Commander and doesn't cost anybody anything. And it's a great resource to just jam games with your favorite deck.
And an interesting concept too is, obviously, you know, people are competing at the highest level, CDH, you know, they're trying to win for these prizes and all that. There's also absolutely no downside to bringing like your bug tribal deck, you know, just trying to play like insects and stuff, because it's free. I mean, if you wanted to, if that's what you have built and you just want to mess around, like it's totally an option. It's free. There's literally no downside. You can bring whatever the hell you want.
Say
like,
this
it
now.
Matter.
Now everybody will be bringing like Gris tribal or some shit. I don't know.
No.
Like,
you could literally just go to your LGS and buy a Commander precon and just show up and play.
Hey, don't
like,
play
you
around.
You could legitimately.
The CDH decks lose to precons.
Seriously.
They do.
Yeah, it can happen.
I just see Foss like cringing in the corner. It's just like, I know that people can do this, but,
should they?
I play Winota, and she just dies to anything that's not CDH. Dies to everything.
That's just outside.
It's horrible.
You have 4/4s in your deck? What do I do?
Not even that. They just hit you with the most obscure removal, and you're like,
yep,
why do you
four
run
waves
that?
At the wazoo is horrible.
I mean, like, even though we're joking about it, like, if that's what you have, you know, if you don't have access to a printer or you just want to show up and fuck around, I mean, no one's going to stop you. It's free.
Right.
Like, there's no downside, you know, besides your time. I mean, that's it.
The one thing that I will always advocate for is if you want to come and play, come and play. Just be aware of what everybody else is playing, right? So even though you say, like, hey, bring your precon, by all means do that. Just remember that it is competitive Magic. So there are games where you're going to lose on turn two, and you just have to understand that going in, right?
Yeah, and for the people who go to FNM and stuff like that, it's the same thing. They have standard precons, and you can win games with it. You're not going to win as many games with it as the people who, you know, spend a lot more money or whatever. But
owns a printer.
You can still show up and play. That's the other thing is, again,
has a
you just
FedEx.
Need a printer, basically. Yeah.
Or you can
order them or find a friend with a printer. Library. Like, there's so many options.
That's something to, like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. To elaborate on, though, is, like, you don't need to just bring a precon. Like, you have the ability to print off any card in Magic's history and bring it to the tournament. So whatever your dream deck is that you wanted to play, you can play that at the Chaos Tournament and people are going to be excited to see it, right? If you've always wanted to play Blue Farm, but you don't have $16,000, well, guess what? $5 at your
library.
You do.
Now
you got Blue Farm.
Blue Farm.
So, like, that's one of the best parts about the Chaos Tournament, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, you go to the library, it's like $5. Same thing. You can go to like any UPS store, FedEx store, whatever. You give them a flash drive with, you know, all the cards on it. Yeah. There's no way it costs more than $5. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then you get to beat guys like me that have $700 cards in their deck, and then I get to lose to paper, and it's like, that's a good feeling. That's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
It's a really cool way to grow the community, because a lot, like, a really it's like a paywall, basically. You know, for a lot of this game, you know, playing modern, playing legacy, whatever.
Don't get us started. We have an entire episode about gatekeeping and how the price point of Magic is the biggest reason that the community.
Oh, 100%, 100%, and you can play any deck you want. The most it'll cost you is $5, which is crazy considering you can go to your library, print out a deck for a couple dollars, and then come win a revised wheel. Like, that's insane. That's insane. Yeah. And not have to pay an entry fee either. Like, it's crazy.
Free. It's crazy. Why wouldn't you enjoy? It's crazy that a $5 trip to the library can win you $300 at this tournament, which is like one of the coolest, like, it's like a cool concept. Like, now that I'm reflecting on it, I'm like, oh shit, that's pretty fun. Like,
I know. I'm like excited about this, and not even as a TO, like as a player. Like, that the fact that I don't have to spend all this money. I can just go to a UPS store and come win a $300 card. No entry fee, no nothing. Is like, where else are you going to do that?
Well, like, that's the downside of in-person tournaments, is like, if you're not an enfranchised player, right? So like, if you're not a player that already has an established collection and tons of money to buy the best cards, when you want to go play an in-person tournament that's not proxy friendly, you don't have an option to like win the dual lands, right? Like, you can win, how many tournaments are around where you could win all 10 duels, right? Well, that's amazing, but you still need like the duels in your deck to even play in that tournament most of the time. True. So like, what are you playing for? You're just doubling up, like, it doesn't make sense, right? So like, that's why I think tournaments like this are really fun, and it presents an opportunity for like people like me and Kian to say, hey, in the next tournament we are going to give out a dual land. And it's like, because now you have the opportunity to play for the deck you've always wanted or the cards that go in that deck, and it allows you to establish that collection in the future. And all you have to do is be a player with you have to be good at playing Magic. That's all you have to do. You don't even need money to play.
Or really lucky, one or the other. I mean,
sometimes luck is probably the biggest. Yeah. Oh, man. So what do you guys say we play a little game? Kian, are you down for that?
All right, moving on to the best segment of the show, guys. All right, I don't know if you guys know, but this is called the Flavor Text of the Week. For those of you just tuning in or don't know what the segment is, it's where I, Kian, try to stump the cast and the audience with a flavor text from Magic's history. So for those of you listening to us, please have your answer ready and with the spoiler tag in our Flavor Text Judge Discord channel. Anyways, on to the cast's flavor text. So I'm kind of in the minds of like the Sad Nas crew, you know. I know they'll get it in like a couple, like five tries, right? So I don't know you guys personally. So
you need about 10 times more than that.
This might be easy.
Maybe 50.
This might be hard. Okay. So you call it luck. I call it preparation.
You call it luck.
You call it luck. I call it preparation.
So you guys would think, after doing 14 episodes of this show,
you'd be actually good at this. I would start to research
flavor text. But unfortunately,
I do actually have a guess.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Throw it out there.
Lindell's Vault.
Okay. Nope.
I feel like that's a good guess.
It was a good guess. So it was a good guess.
So this is like how we normally do this, right? Is like, we got to think of the mind, like, what could that flavor text mean, right? So, like, you call it luck, I call it preparation. So it's probably, like, a counterspell or something, because it's, like, saying, like, ha, gotcha, yeah, you thought I was lucky, but I wasn't, or something that's similar to that. So I for sure, I think it's instant speed, whatever it is, because, like you're prepared for something, right? So instant speed. But I don't know.
I actually feel like I might have heard this or read this off of a card before.
It is CDH playable. It's not.
So what? CDH what lucky? Card. Like what? What?
It's not what I'm thinking, man.
You call luck. I call it preparation. So, and he says the Sad Nas crew knows it. We play a lot of like inbred decks. Like, we're big into Grixis Blue Farm, like turbo stuff. So I'm assuming it's in like that color. So I'm thinking blue or black, maybe.
And CDH playable. Mm-hmm. Playable or like
playable?
It's in. No, it's playable. Actually index.
It's index.
Is it opposition agent?
It is index.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not opposition agent.
It's like, no.
I thought. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't choose that easy of a card. Come on.
I don't know. That seemed like a good one.
Anyway, say it one more time.
You call it luck. I call it preparation.
Oh, now he's got a voice with it too. Now, this guy's too confident. There you go.
Now all I can think of is like Preparation H.
we don't talk about after hours.
If you guys don't think you can get it, we can start playing the guessing game where we just start eliminating colors and things.
I'm gonna
like
make a guess. I think it might be Predator's Grasp.
Nope. Predator's Grasp has Shieldred.
Yeah, it's a Shieldred. Yeah. Yep. Oh, dude, are we gonna get a Praetor's Grasp reprint in Dominaria United? That would be sick. Because Shieldred's coming back. Okay. Am I correct in thinking it's a blue or black instant? Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, I think it's a counter spell still. So, what would be a counter spell? You call it luck. I call it preparation.
Okay. If you guys want to take any other guesses. But I would like to know, if we get, like, a hint, is it, would you say it's, with like, printed within the last 10 years or before that?
It's been printed within the last 10 years.
Within the last 10 years. Okay.
I have a good idea, because me and Kian were talking about a card today, and if it's the card that we were talking about...
It's not. I almost chose that card, and then I was like, he's going to guess it right
so
away.
So you almost chose Mind Grip Trap?
I was like, no, Adam's going to get it.
Oh, man. Okay, so it's a blue or black instant. Is it a counterspell?
No.
Oh, fuck. Okay, shit.
Narset's Reversal.
Good guess, but no.
Oh, that is a good guess. That's a really good guess.
It's not a counterspell.
Is it Deflecting
Sword? It's a console.
Oh, no, that's not blue.
That is
black.
Not
that's
a blue or black instant.
Is it Demonic Consultation? No.
Nope.
No.
I'm really bad at this, haven't noticed.
No, I'm going to have to start looking through cards. This is the fun of it. We're all bad at this because all the viewers get to laugh at us as we can't. Like, we spent four minutes already contemplating this one stupid
card. By the time the first guest is out, they already typed it in a Scryfall. I know what you guys are doing at home, okay? I'm not dumb.
That's funny.
I feel like luck is a part of it because as you call it luck, I call it preparation.
What deck uses luck?
Oh, Karkashima. Okay. What's
is it just the man himself?
Double or nothing.
Oh, no, it isn't. It is an instant.
A blue
spell.
So then it's a blue spell. So
blue,
what's a funny blue spell in Karkashima that's like a counter spell?
But not a counter spell?
It's not a counter spell.
Oh, it's not a counter spell.
I'll give you guys a hint.
Frantic Search? Is it Frantic Search?
No. I'll give you guys a hint. It's one of their main engines. In drawing cards.
Okay, so it's not Git Probe, right?
And that's an instant?
Oh, now we're getting into it. I don't do any of you guys play Kirk.
It's not? Okay, I was gonna say Flusterstorm, because they love that card, but it's not a counter spell.
I hate that card. That card, don't play it.
No, it's a draw engine. It's a draw engine. What are blue draw engines in Karkashima?
Draw engine as an instant?
The only one I can think of is Frantic Search, because someone casted that on me the other day and counted it seven times.
Right.
What are blue draw spells? What the fuck? Why can't I think of this?
Is it Brainstorm?
They don't play Dig Through Time, right?
Nope.
Ponder?
Nope.
Preordain?
Nope.
Just name all. What the fuck? Get it.
Yeah, Ponder, Preordain, Brainstorm. It's not Git Probe.
Oh, man. I haven't played this deck enough.
You guys are too impulsive. Either.
Impulse.
Too impulsive.
Impulse.
It's impulse. Is that what it is?
No. Yeah, it's impulse. Finally.
Okay, it is impulse.
I don't even remember what impulse does, so now I need to look this up.
It's another one drop.
It's a two drop cantrip.
It's an instant.
It's the bad cantrip. Apologies.
Impulse is good, though, in Karkashima.
It's a good engine.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So
okay, you win, Kian. Haha. Very funny.
Haha. Very funny. All right. Now.
Funny.
For the audience's flavor text. Her eyes blaze with the strength of 20 shields. Every glance is a salvation. I'll say it again. Her eyes blaze with the strength of 20 shields. Every glance is a salvation. All right.
Now, we're lucky because since they use Scryfall at home, because they're a bunch of cheaters,
they
get really
the
hard ones. But us, we get super easy ones that are still hard because we're dumb.
I literally picked the most random card. I Googled Stronghold and like scrolled down and chose the most random card, and they still got it in like half an hour since the podcast came out. So that I was like, all right, they're cheating. No way. Anyway, so Adam, I think you want to ask the next question.
Yeah, so we'll move on. I think we all want to move on from that horrible display of fingertips knowledge. So we're going to get into the nitty-gritty now, okay? We're past the halfway point of the podcast, okay? Only the most dedicated listeners get the juicy content. So the next question I want to ask you guys are, what are the problems that come along with hosting webcam tournaments? So, like, specifically, what are some problems that you guys have experienced, and what are some of the main problems that exist when it comes to webcam magic?
Well, I'll start with the first problem we have, and then I'll let Foss take the second one. The first problem we had was finding pairing software for multiplayer was
nightmare,
an actual adventure, because oh my god, we tried Squirebot the first time around, and it, well,
sort of worked.
It was more of a peasant bot. We implemented it for the first tournament, and then I immediately screwed the pooch.
Yep, he did.
So I had to have the whole tournament re-register because I fucked it up. But outside of that, there's so many commands and stuff that you have to rely on players to do, and trying to get 100 plus people to all make sure they do all these weird commands, and it was like a nightmare. And thankfully we got like our own software for pairings, and it's been like
it's been
an actual godsend. But that was like the biggest initial problem, was how do we get everyone into some kind of software and pair them all and especially for multiplayer, it's like really hard to get anything decent for multiplayer. And the second one, again, I'll let Foss take it over, but was kind of what we touched on earlier with keeping all your cards on the table.
Yeah, so we had some problems with cheaters in some of our tournaments, and for the most part, I think we found them out. It's very niche stuff, people not keeping the cards on the table. That's why we have the rule set the way it is. We got to strictly follow that, because, again, we don't have a good way to regulate that, being a webcam tournament.
Yep. Outside of if your cards leave the camera, you might get a game loss, because there's really nothing else that we can do to police those kinds of things. And honestly, it's been pretty good. The first three tournaments were great. I mean, I don't think we had any issues with that one. The last one, we had one person who was already a problem like everywhere else, but we just were like, all right, well, you seem to be nice to us, so like we'll give you a shot. And then they obviously didn't appreciate that, so they're gone now. And then we had one other person, but you know, everyone's watched. There's the games are streamed, and you know, there's people in the games that are recording themselves and all that. So, you know, we have a lot of people watching, you know, all these games and stuff. So it's just like not worth it. Like, we're not going to find it, you know?
Yeah. I think what's funny is like probably one of the biggest deterrents to cheaters is the community reaction, because once you get caught cheating in any instance, not even in a tournament, if you get caught cheating in a Discord game, you are like exiled from the community.
You're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, you don't exist anymore. Like, you are deleted from like every Discord server, every Play server. Like, Foss and I have been playing, you know, online long enough. We have a pretty good outreach to, you know, all the big Discord servers and even the smaller ones. I have people who are like, hey, I have 10 people in my Discord server, and we found out one of them might be cheating. And I just have people reach out to me like that all the time. So you'll just get deleted from the world. And that's just a promise. Like, well, it like, just is.
A lot of the, and I think we all can attest to this, a lot of the CDH community, especially now, is built on trust. Because we are playing over webcam. We are playing like with people that we call friends, but we've never met in person. We don't know what type of people they are. We don't know what they do outside of Magic. And frankly, most of us don't care. But what we're doing is we're trusting each other to say, hey, we want to play like this game at the highest level. And we're trusting each other that this is a game of chance, and we are playing a random game of skill, right? And to compete at that level, you have to trust each other a little bit. especially when you're playing over spell table and shit. And so as soon as you break that trust, you're fucking out of here. And like nobody.
Oh, plays. Dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you'd. For anyone who didn't keep track of like what happened with the last tournament and stuff, dude, within 24 hours, that guy was banned from existence. Like there are people on YouTube flaming him, and it was
bad.
Man, that is not worth it.
Yeah, and it's
oh, it's rough.
It isn't. It really isn't. Like for like as much as you might think, right? Like, oh man, I'm gonna cheat my way into an opportunity to win a $250 card. What sucks is like, go ahead and try, and then you will never be allowed to play anywhere again.
You'll
like,
never, you yeah.
Yeah.
And not then, even just in our tournaments or in a tournament, like in any play space online, like you'll just be banned from everything. And that's not even just me saying it, like, you know, bullshit coming out of my mouth. It's happened.
Yeah, it has.
You know, granted, we've only had like two of these instances. But man, after the last one, the community is just like, oh, we're going to be on this. Like, there is no one getting like under us on this one, like ever again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be the next person. Yeah,
you guys were very quick in acting, which I think was like very instrumental in deterring other cheaters or other possible cheaters. Cause you guys within, like you said, like 24 hours, all right, he's out of here now, or he or she's out of here,
that, but like the videos were posted so everyone can see for themselves, like, hey, if you don't believe that this stuff happens, like, look at this video, and this is what you need to watch out for as a player, and then look, here's the evidence that this stuff took place. And then
showing evidence.
Go ahead.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of it is, you know, we're for anyone who's talked to us at basically any length knows that we're like super transparent with everything. Like I don't care about hiding stuff from people. Like if we had a cheater, we sniffed him out, we got rid of him. If you guys want to go look at the VODs, you know, I'm not going to take more time out of my day to like go edit the VODs or like, it's just not worth it. Like, you know, if anything, it's educational. Like this is what you should watch for when you're playing a game.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what a lot of it is. It wasn't that like this person was so good at cheating. It was that the other three people weren't really watching.
They were folks.
Yeah, that's most of it.
Which is what you should do.
And then when a couple people actually did pay attention, he got caught really fast.
To be honest, you know, the people who were paying attention weren't even in the game. They're just watching.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
So speaking of spectators and cheating, where do you guys get your judges from? Are they like, do you guys pull them from like a pool of judges? Do you guys just have like a judge chat or like a judge Discord? Or do you guys just personally know them?
A judge garden outside.
We're just growing judges constantly.
Growing judges outside. So, go ahead, Foss.
Again, our head judge, Looter Scooter, she is awesome at everything she does. She's been the head judge for all the past tournaments. And basically, we ask other judges if they want to participate. If they don't, they can play as well all they want. They show up. Usually, they do shifts now, I believe, right?
Yeah, give or take.
Give or take shifts. Some stay for the whole event. Mm-hmm. But basically, they go out to pods. They talk to the players. They come back. Any questions, they ask Looter. She'll give them what's what. And basically, that's how we do it. It's great.
Yeah, I think initially it was Foss and I, you know, talking about the tournaments and all that, and then us talking to Looter and saying like, smooth, you know, what do you think? Who do you want to bring in? Whatever.
Yeah.
So obviously she was the first judge.
Where did you guys get in contact with her? Was it just through?
I actually streamed with her on Twitch like years ago, so I've known Looter for a long time. So that's like where I started. And then we got, you know, some friends of hers, some people from other servers that we played with. And then once we had like our kind of small group of judges, like three or four that we use consistently, we kind of just leave it to them. You know, there's judge discords and stuff where people will, you know, go online, get their rules advisor, like they'll do their rules advisor test, and then they'll join these judge discords to like, okay, I want to progress towards actually being a level one. And it's a good opportunity for them to reach out to the judges that we use, and then they can come to our events and kind of shadow the other judges. So we have some that have shadowed and now are actually just judging events and stuff. So a lot of it is, I mean, obviously it's all volunteer, but, you know, just getting people who are interested in progressing, you know, their own judging career and, you know,
it's a win.
They have their own community and all that. Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah.
No, and literally,
we get more help and they get more experience. And I mean, a lot of that's what a lot of being a judge is just a lot of, you know, judging a lot of events.
Yeah. And Luder is absolutely amazing. She's a judge in our channel as well to help out with any rules questions and things like that. And she's just been super helpful.
Oh, she's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's just super fun. A super fun person to have around. And, like, funny enough, the day we're recording this, it's her birthday. So happy birthday, Maria.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Unfortunately, you won't see this till like, days after your birthday. But that's still funny. But yeah, I think it's cool that you guys like, just like have so many volunteers and people that are willing to help out with this kind of stuff. Because like you need that to have like something as big as this, right? You need people willing to help and people willing to lend hands. And the people that you guys have are absolutely amazing. Every experience I've had with a judge in your Discord has been absolutely wonderful. I know that people will like constantly are asking questions before every tournament, like, are these proxies allowed? What is allowed? Can I do this? Can I play this deck? And even people that are memeing and like goofing around, like, your judges are very professional and handle it really, really well. And
no, they are for sure. We've been really lucky with not only the judges that we have, but the player base and everything. It's been really good.
It's been a nice experience, honestly.
Yeah, very positive. I can imagine.
And that's coming from someone who's played in, like, you know, hundreds of like big events and stuff, and those things can go downhill so quickly. So fast. You know,
I know that we talked earlier about where like the prize support for this tournament is coming from, because obviously like we're helping provide it this time around. But when it comes to normal tournaments,
not helping you are providing.
But when it comes to like the three tournaments prior to this one, where do you guys normally like cultivate prizes from?
So you want to show him your pockets?
For the most part, it's been donations from me and Chaos, like 90% of the other tournaments. And we've got,
especially for the first, like the first tournament was like 95% Foss and like 5% Timmy from Budget Brews.
Oh, yep. Timmy!
And then it's kind of like slowly scaled down from there. Like, you know, from our page, like we get, you know, help from our Patreon, and we'll just get messages from people that are like, hey, you know, you guys are doing this great thing, you know, and there's no entry, whatever. I want to send you something to add to the prize pool.
It's been great.
Yeah. So it's slowly been less and less of Foss's pockets and more from like other, you know, other places, which has been cool.
Yeah, because I think
and obviously you guys.
Well, I just think that it's like really interesting and something to touch on, because I don't think like a lot of people really understand that when they first like join Chaos is like normally like everything is just provided by you two wanting to do something for the community as like a way to say like, hey, we just want to provide this fun experience for everybody to be a part of. And you mentioned Timmy like helping out with the first one. Timmy's like that same type of way. Like Timmy loves like, giving back
Timmy
to the community
and
any
opportunity
that he can. And he's super cool and super fun. He's actually, we love Timmy at our Discord, because he was one of the first ever content creators to actually like reach out to us and be like, hey, you guys are doing something good, so keep it up. And we were like, oh, what? That's so amazing. Because like to us, Timmy was like such a large figure in the community.
No, he's been around for a long time. Him and I go way back, and anyone that wants to ask him about me, I'm sure you'll get all kinds of stories. But he's, you know, not unlike all of us, where like we, you know, this is a community that we all love, and you know, we all would obviously take money out of our pockets to grow and help. And you know, it's just, you know, when you care about something, you know, like a community or whatever, you just try to make it better, do what you can. And that's pretty much all it is.
I think that's like a really good thing to kind of touch on, is how like there's, for especially for people that are new to the format, or people that are listening and are like, oh, there's a tournament, I'm interested in it, but I've never played CEDH. The competitive EDH community is very, very tight and very open and welcoming to new people, because they just want to see the format grow. Like, more than anything, I think this community really does a good job of saying, like, hey, we take all people from all likes and all backgrounds, and as long as you want to play competitively, by all means, come and join us, right?
Yeah, that's it. And that's where the whole proxy friendly thing comes in. Yep. Like, basically, no matter where you go to play online, you know, mostly, no one cares if you have proxies. They tell you, like, hey, like, you don't have an LED in your deck. Like, you should go proxy that. It'll make your deck way better.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a very welcoming community, for sure.
Yeah, and, like, things like this are a perfect way to kind of showcase that. Like, a tournament that says, like, hey, come out, try it. If you've never played Comp Ariel before, now is your chance. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, and you'll learn from your mistakes. So, by all means, go ahead and make them, right? And, like, just providing that space, I think, is very, very important. And, like, rewarding people for doing that as well is really important. And I think that's
and especially for the new people. Sorry to cut you off. No, but especially for the new people, you know, we have this great staff of, like, super, super friendly judges. Like, and when I say, like, they don't mind coming to, like, you know, a pod or, you know, a room that we're playing in for the tournament to, like, answer a question or help you, they are literally volunteering because, like, this is what they want to do. Like, it's the equivalent of someone coming in to play in the free tournament. They're doing the same thing, just on the other side.
Yep.
So there's, you know, I don't want to, like, bully people into come playing, but, like, if you're at all interested in, like, CEDH or just competitive REL in general, this is literally the best place to come do it. Because if someone, and you can ask Foss, if someone is going to be either a jerk to the judges or just be, like, an ass to other players,
so we don't tolerate that.
That is not going to fly. So you will not have to worry about that.
Speaking of repercussions, how do you guys deal with cheaters in the tournament? Tournaments.
Oh, we touched on that.
We did. Would you guys elaborate?
Foss.
Go ahead.
For cheaters, Foss
has a guillotine in the back.
Cheaters during the tournament. If we catch them, they will be removed from the tournament on the spot. No more games, counts as a game loss for them, all that stuff. Unfortunately, we can't do much afterwards the tournament, but we can't deny their prizes, for example. It's about all we can do and not let them participate any further.
All I'll say is I've played CDH for a long time. I know a lot of people on a lot of servers. I got friends in high places. And no, but honestly, like, if you're caught cheating in, like, one of our tournaments, for example, I mean, you're going to get deleted from the community.
You're
like,
basically not going
to. It's just how it is. No one's going to want to play with a cheater. Like, no one likes cheaters. Like, you're just going to be axed from everything. Like, and that, it sounds a little harsh, but I mean,
is what it
is. You know?
Yeah. A question that I think I'm curious about, I don't know if the viewers would be curious about it, but, like, say something were to happen where, like, you caught someone either cheating or not even just cheating, but, like, technically, like, committing any games rules violations enough to I was going to say extitute, but that's not a fucking word. enough to execute a game loss, right, from enough GRVs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the other three players in the game? Does the game just continue on as normal, but that player is no longer there? Or do you, restart?
Obviously, a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of the if, ands, or buts we leave to the judges. Generally speaking, if we can continue a game,
we probably will.
We will urge the judges and the players to continue the game. If someone gets a game loss for repeatedly making the same infraction, we would continue the pod. But generally speaking, we have Looter, who is, like, you don't get much more of an experienced judge than her. And along with the other judges we have, we usually just, like, you know, let them run the show with, you know, on their side of the tournament. You know, we have our own things to do. They have their things to do. If they want to double check or if we want to double check with them, you know, we'll have a conversation. But generally, people are here to play. Let the players play. And all of the judges have said that in multiple instances, whether that's someone has an emergency and they need to leave or whatever. Players are here to play. Let them play. You know.
Cool.
For sure.
And then I think a big question that at least I've been wanting to ask you guys is what do you have in store, or like what are you planning for the future of Chaos tournaments, and how do you hope to change or impact the, and I'm gonna say the bad word that everybody hates, the TEDH community? Because I think that there is like a separation between tournament EDH and just regular CEDH, because it is a bit of a different vibe. But
so I want to let Foss answer this. But before that, and he's laughing because he knows exactly what I'm going to bring up. I think it was earlier in the week or last week. Poppy down here, you know, has our nice little document, what we're going to go over and all that. And I believe one of the questions involved, you know, something about TEDH. And and then Foss and I were talking later that day, and I was like, hey, Foss, how do you feel about TEDH? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, do you know what TEDH is? And he's like,
nope.
Mm. And I'm like, I don't know what it stands for either. and then someone else, it might have been Vasher, someone was like, yep, it's tournament EDH. And then we were both like, Makes sense.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you have to be careful who you talk about it with, because, like, on Twitter, it's like you said a bad word. Whenever you bring up TDH, people start coming out of the woodworks like, CDH is CDH. There's no such thing as TDH. And it's like, okay, but I play in tournaments, and, like, it's definitely different, you know? So
It is
definitely different.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know about Foss, but I definitely forgot most of that question. Right, but I'll leave it to him to answer.
we got future plans. We have more tournaments in the works. We usually plan our tournaments after Fact 1 happens, because we've got to set dates and times around other things going on, events around the world, all that stuff. Because we want to involve the community as much as we can. But yeah,
and I know we've been like somewhat talking about doing outside of the normal Chaos tournaments, like roughly every 6 weeks, you know, give or take. Outside of that, and I want to stress, outside of that,
separate,
we're talking about doing some amount of like paid events, you know, like $10 entry, however many players,
right? Modern,
very beginning stages, but we're talking about like different formats, like people who are interested in Pauper or Modern or Legacy or whatever. And we'd probably still have CDH, because it would be on like around the same like Saturday, late morning, early afternoon, different formats. Well. Yeah, we could change it up. We don't really want to interfere with like FNM, but that, again, that's like a later thing, but just something to look out for. That we might have other formats, and you know, just for people who you know, I guess are a little bit more degenerate.
Wow.
You know, they want to put like 10 bucks up front to try to, you know, to win more money kind of thing. But
trust me,
something in the future. But usually, yeah, we usually try to keep it about 6 weeks for every Chaos tournament. And we're not planning on stopping anytime soon. So
I was going to say, trust me, Kian and the rest of the Sad Noz guys know all about being degenerate.
We like gambling.
When it comes to, like, but we just like we spend so much money on tournament play, like at our local area.
Yeah.
It's just like really ridiculous,
dude. I've been there. Yep. I feel so old. I'm like, back in my day, you know. But no, I was like the grinder that was going like all up and down the East Coast and flying out to Vegas for events. And oh man,
Cass was like, it
was a good
day,
time. It was
played for Auntie,
dude.
Dude. Hey, let's put it this way: the last Modern deck I played competitively was KCI.
I just did a video about KCI not that long ago.
That's the last Modern deck I played.
I had been like traveling and playing, like, you know, being like the life of the grinder for like years before Modern even existed. So I just feel so old. So old.
Yeah, so
I remember going to the Wizards of the Coast store in the mall. I don't even think they have those anymore, but going to the Wizard store in the mall and buying an 8th edition starter set that came with a Modo CD in the starter set. Man, you can't even buy a computer with, like, you know, a CD drive, really anymore.
I've heard so many mythical stories about these Wizards of the Coast stores. No, the Wizards of the Coast.
It was cool. They had all the magic stuff, and then right behind you, they had all the D&D books and stuff. Like, I was never like a D&D guy, but you could buy like everything there. Those stores were great.
Sure, they just couldn't sell singles, right? Like, that was like the thing. They couldn't sell singles because they were a watch.
Sure. Yeah. It was all it was all sealed products. Buying like Mirrodin. They didn't even have fat packs. They called them tournament packs.
Oh, really? What? I've never heard
If that. Anyone even knows what those were, I think it was, like, instead of getting, you know, like, if you do a sealed pool, they give you, what, like, six packs or whatever? Mm-hmm. Well, then it would be a tournament pack. They would just hand you this, like, you know, cardboard box, and it would have the equivalent of, like, six packs in it.
Oh, funny. That's so weird.
Very weird. God, I'm old.
So something that I want to, like, elaborate on that question was, like, when I asked, like, how do you guys want to change, like, the TDH community, I know that your tournament specifically, you guys are really, really flexible about the structure of your tournament. Like leading up to, like, this one, Chaos 4, you guys have really, like, you really messed with, like, round times, time and round and turns after time and stuff like that. And I'm curious as to, like, what you guys have found that best works for you, and like, do you guys hope to have a larger impact on like webcam tournaments in the future, like considering that it's like Chaos Playing with Power does their league, and like PlayEDH does a tournament, and other than that no one else is really doing online tournaments at all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're kind of hoping this like set some kind of precedent, like, you know, once we have like more tournaments under our belt and more players and trying new rules and stuff. But we're really open to trying like all kinds of different structures and stuff like that, because a lot of it is trying to have as many rounds as possible, so, you know, people have the opportunity to make top 16 or, you know, or whatever, but also respecting people's times around the world. Cause we have people who are in Europe, you know, 6 hours ahead of like East Coast time.
Four Australian boys last time.
Yeah. And we have like people literally all over the world. So it's really hard for us to balance playing enough rounds and respecting everyone's time. So for the last event, we tried, you know, our Saturday 10 a.m. seems to be like our sweet spot. You know, West Coast has to wake up kind of early, but people in Europe can still play, and it's not like horrible 5 o'clock in the morning when we're done. So it's a good middle ground. But we tried 75 minute rounds instead of the normal 90. But what we also tried was once time was called in the round, having active player finish their turn and then having no extra turns. Because at least in the past, we found
extra turns. Those extra 40 minutes.
Exactly. Those extra turns could take 45 minutes just for the turns. Yep. And we started kind of at, like, giving people, you know, like 5 extra minutes to like get to their table, get everything together, shuffle. So it's probably closer to like 80 minute rounds, like once you factor that in. But, you know, like, there's pros and cons to no matter what kind of structure you do for like time and, you know, round time and dates and times and all that. But, you know, I guess it's a work in progress. Not everyone's going to be happy all the time, but this was the best, at least so far, the best way that we found. You know, like, basically it was, would you rather have 3 rounds, 90 minutes with turns, or 4 rounds, 75 minutes without turns? Generally, people would rather play an extra round than have an extra turn.
Sure. More games.
And I think I actually misspoke, because I think we did 75 minutes both ways. We just added turns or subtracted turns. So it literally was, would you rather play an extra round or have one extra turn? Yeah. Generally, people would rather play an extra game, because if you get unlucky for a game, you could win another game. If you get unlucky for one turn, like, that's not going to really make a difference for you. And I think we looked through a lot of the games, and the amount of games where those extra turns would have actually made a difference was like two matches. Maybe. Like it was pretty minimal, honestly.
That's like the funniest part to me is because when I think about extra turns, I think about people tanking for 40 minutes on, man, is there a way I can win the game? Not, I just need a turn to win the game.
Yep.
So it's it's always like, to me, like our LGS runs it where there isn't like the rounds are really short and there's no time there's no extra turns after time. So like it makes for like you have to actually attempt to win the game because you don't get that leeway outside of it. And it some people would say it rewards like faster strategies and things like that. But I think what it does is it rewards people that are attempting to win the game. So
For sure. And another good example, and we were curious how this would work out, was the length of the tournament. Previously, it was 3 rounds, 75 minutes plus turns. Last tournament, we did 4 rounds, 75 minutes, no turns. We actually finished the tournament earlier. 20 minutes earlier than we did the previous one, adding an entire round.
That's pretty
impressive. We finished 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah, that's pretty
impressive. So that just goes to show you how long, like, turns can go. It's insane.
Yeah.
And the amount of time, like I said, the amount of times that it like legitimately means someone's getting a win compared to a draw was like super minimal. Like you're talking under 5% of matches, like less than that.
For sure.
And on top of that, it helped flesh out our standards a lot. Have an extra round, like for the points wise, it helped.
Like a 4-round Swiss instead of a 3-round Swiss.
It helped.
That with that many players, like over 100 players, like you know, you go to a GP or something. Like they're, I mean, how many rounds are those? Like a dozen or something? Like 10? Yeah. Like that's a lot. Yeah. And there's a reason they do that, is so you don't do 3 rounds and then you have like half the tournament with the same points and then it comes down to tiebreakers. Like no one wants to miss out on a prize due to tiebreakers.
You're telling me I can no longer almost make top 16.
You can't cheese the top 16 anymore.
The last event we only had 2 people not make the top 16 due to points. And I'm pretty sure before that it was a lot more. Because obviously the less rounds you have, the more people with the same points. And like I said, how feels bad would it be if we cut the top 16 and you get 20th, but you have the same amount of points as, you know, the person who got 9th? Like, that's just so shitty.
Yeah.
So we're trying to avoid that as much as possible, basically.
No, I think that's really good.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any? I thought somebody else for sure had a closing thing to say. But if nobody doesn't, I think. Well, I just wanted to say, I know this comes from me and Adam. Thank you, both of you guys, for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that our listeners are excited for Chaos 4, because I know we sure are. And we've been putting a lot of work, both teams. Our work has been actually working and getting money to pay for the prizes. Well, Chaos and Foss has been working behind the scenes to get this all sorted out per their usual. I hope this helped to shed some light on the struggles that exist with hosting webcam tournaments. And with that, I think as the prizes fall out, they're damaged now.
I don't think they're near mid anymore. Yeah.
They're in hard cases.
And with that, I think we'll hop over to the most demanded section of our podcast, Bergie's Corner. Adam?
Yeah. Okay. This one's fun. I love this part. So for anybody that doesn't know yet, Bergie's Corner is a segment on our podcast where we all become the gods of storytelling. See that? I added like flavor text into our own segment. We now have a Discord channel dedicated to Bergie's Corner. So please come and join it to tell us all of your stories that you have regarding the topics as well. For our new listeners that don't know, this segment is where we share one of our favorite stories regarding the episode's topic. For this episode, we're diving into what our favorite or least favorite tournament experience was. Could be organizing our very first event or playing in our very first one, something either really fun, really exciting, or a story filled with horrible disappointment. Each of us are going to be given around like 5 minutes. We'll fudge the numbers for the sake of this episode to tell the story. And I think in the distance, I can hear Hornfell's melody. So who would like to go first? Do you guys get that? Do you know what Hornfell is?
I do.
I have no idea.
It's the flip side.
It's the backside of Bergy.
It's the flip side of Bergy.
It's the horn.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
It's a valuable question because most people don't know what the backside of Bergy is.
Yes.
I've used that before. Don't judge me.
It's a good one.
Wait, was I with you, Foss, where it was the last card I needed off Bergy? I had no cards in hand. Was Breach?
I don't remember.
No? Okay.
It might be.
I think it was. The last card with... I needed was Breach, was only one to win, and then I got Breach up.
I'm mad as hell because I won a game with the backside of Bergy on under Playing with Power's camera. I went to a convention. I was playing with the Playing with Power guys on camera, and I won with the backside of Bergy in like the most coolest way ever, by casting like a dramatic reversal to untap all my shit and then win the game. And they fucking never posted the video.
Nope.
I mean,
no.
Your time.
No, that was a quick five minutes.
I have five minutes on the clock. Foss, you want to start off?
Sure. All right, timer starts now. It's actually an event me and Cass did. Our first tournament actually is hilarious. I loved it. This guy was making a bunch of drama in the chat.
Oh, no.
he was complaining about cheating, saying if you don't get caught, cheating's cool and all that stuff, and... All of a sudden, Chaos next to me, he's bringing up a storm, getting really antsy, started yelling and crap. And then he gets super upset. He said, I'm going to ban this guy. Like,
in my defense, he was a problem.
He was
like,
a problem, yes.
Elsewhere, other servers,
I got so many messages,
watch
this guy. It's not your time,
guy.
Shut up.
And basically, he kept getting antsy, and everyone's... telling him off, all that BS. And then Cass started getting all antsy and kept going and super angry, aggravated. And he's like, I'm going to ban this guy. I'm like, okay, we're in the middle of putting the tournament in through Squirebot. I'm like, okay, just wait. Before you kick him, before you ban him. And he's like, oh, it's too late. I'm like, oh, well, now we got to redo the whole fucking tournament. Thanks, bud. So we had to delete that entire tournament. And then we...
After everyone signed up,
we had to delete it all, make an entirely new tournament. All these new commands I had to set up because Squirebot is awful. Because Squirebot has this thing that if someone leaves the Discord during the tournament event while they're already registered, the bot just fails. It dies and cannot work again. It's really
bad. Since I banned them after everyone signed up, the tournament crashed.
Yep. So we had to restart everything.
Yeah. That was the day that Chaos ruined the first tournament before it even started.
It was hilarious. Actual chaos at the Chaos tournament.
It was legitimately chaos.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It wasn't my shining moment.
It was funny.
Oh, man.
All right. I guess I'll do mine real quick. I don't think mine's very long. So,
okay.
Since we're just talking about tournaments in general... I'm going to sound old again, but back in my day, I don't know if they still do these, but they have like the Star City. They have, you know, all the Star City events. And then like if you win one or have enough points. All right. I'm going to do like a humble brag real quick. Uh-huh. Hold on,
oh, no.
He's got to get out the.
Here it is.
He just wanted to flex the secret.
I won a Star City Legacy Open years ago.
Oh.
So, for, you know, one of the things for winning. Was you go to the Invitational. So, and again, to get the Invitational, you have to, like, win a qualifying event or have enough points or whatever. So it was locked at, like, a couple hundred people. Like, it wasn't a huge tournament. And you, Invitational, you have to be invited to go. The first half was Standard. The second half, I believe, was Legacy. And for the Standard portion, I think I'm like trying to find my seat or something, and I look over, and this guy is opening a sealed pre-con, like at the table that he's sitting at for his game. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? Well, for anyone who's played in like those kind of tournaments, you have to have opaque sleeves so you can't see the back of your card to avoid like cheating and stuff. So what this guy did was every single Standard round, and there was four Standard rounds before it like cut to top 64 or whatever. he would open the same precon and play it with no sleeves. He would just physically open a sealed product, shuffle it up without sleeves, and play the game. And to avoid, you know, the judges or anyone accusing him of cheating, he would open another sealed precon every single round. So he had to show up with like six of the same precon to play every single standard round. And it was super weird. And also it being an invitational, like there was like a ton of prizes and he's just opening a precon to play in this tournament. And like I said, he had to open a brand new one every single round. It was like the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Don't give a fuck.
Dude, even just listening to that, I'm like, this is the weirdest fucking shit I've ever heard.
Now imagine seeing it in person, because you're like, oh, he's playing with no sleeves, and then you see the next round, he's just cracking open a new sealed precon, and I'm like, oh, that's how he's avoiding that.
Was it just to show that like the cards weren't marked or anything? Like,
to avoid like any kind of, you know, because even if you played a game with the cards, they could still get like nicks and whatever, so he played a new one every round to avoid that. It's so
sounds
odd.
Like someone doing something
super
like
weird,
in spite of
super
the tournament rules.
Probably,
I'm sure he like lost a bet or like something weird, but something. That was so odd. Just so odd. All right, who's next?
I'm gonna force Kian to go because your story totally made me forget what mine was.
Sorry guys, I gotta put my trophy away.
Oh yeah, here, let me.
I guess.
So I won a Star City Games Open, and they gave me this sweet trophy.
All right, so I guess a tournament experience, I guess you would say, would be my first Command Fest, which was like Command Fest Chicago. It was pre-COVID. I think it was 2018, 2019. And me and a buddy went. We drove down there. We live in Milwaukee, so it's like less like an hour, if that.
Don't dox us, dude. Come on.
We tell them every time we're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Anyway, so we get down there. This is a both of ours first like actual in person tournament. So we get down there. We're like, all right, cool. What do we do? So we get in a pod of casual. We're playing CDH, right? So we thought this was like a only CDH tournament. So we get in there. We're like, all right, our decks aren't that like tier one. We don't. You know, we're not practiced enough with it, so we're like, all right, we're competitive casual. We get in a pod with like two other casual decks and completely like pub stomping, which felt kind of bad because we were both like, all right, what, like one dude was playing Kess and then the other one was on like Grim Grin zombies. And you know when you see Grimgrin, it's about to be some casual matching coming here, boy. But they complained to the judge, and the one of the judges came over and was like, "Well, you see, you guys have the completely wrong tag for your." The online timer went off for 3 minutes. Anyway, so the judge came over and was like, "Well, you guys have the completely wrong tag for." Your Command Fest pass. Can you guys please go up front and get the competitive tag? Because you like pub stomping players is not appropriate, and a lot of players do not like brute. Like I don't even remember what he said. It was just like go over there, get your competitive shit, and come back. So, but the tournament was fun. I don't know. That's all I got. And then some dude was like, "Hey, you want to go outside and smoke?" And I was like, "What?"
I was like so invested. I was like, okay, what happens next? And you're like, yep. And it was
fun. That was it. He was like, all right, just go over there, get your tags, and that was it. And then we played against Flash Hulk the whole fucking time, and it was terrible.
Oh,
and then
Flash Hulk's great. What are you talking about?
No. Then there was one dude playing Flash Hulk that was just like a complete idiot. Okay, like I'm not even trying to be toxic. He was an idiot. He resolved Flash and put in a fucking, I think it was like Razaketh or something. Notably, you can only activate his ability as a sorcery. That's all I got. I don't know.
Okay. Sometimes you gotta do some crazy shit to discard a card, man. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
He had Hulk in hand, so I don't understand.
He was just trying to meme a little bit.
Yeah,
I guess.
So for my story, the first, I'll talk about the first time I ever played in like a tournament. It was at a an LGS tournament at an LGS that we play at, and it was the first time I started playing with some of the friends in our friend group that like we eventually turned into like the Sadness team. So when I was first getting in, back into Magic, because I used to play back in 2015 Commander only, and then I went on a huge hiatus, and recently got back into it, specifically competitive, like at the end of this year. Or not the end of the, like the start of this year. I think last December is when I started playing competitive EDH. So I'm like pretty new to the
format. Back to the future.
Yeah, basically. And when I started, I only had my original like EDH decks. So I had like Marrowgnar, Relentless Rats with like Thrumming Stone combo and Thornbite Staff loops. Or I had Slivers, but my Slivers deck wasn't very good. It was like Slivers was because my original playgroup hated Relentless Rat, so I'm like, well, I'll play something less toxic. Let me build Sliver Tribal, which like in casual, I guess was not the right vibe. So when I met this like friend group that played like really high level, and I'm talking like they were playing like Blue Farm. And what was AJ was on Gitrog, and like some of our other friends, they're on like really high level tier one CDH decks. And I'm like, well, all I've got that like can resemble competitive is like Slivers, and the LGS that we play at doesn't allow proxies. So I remember I'm like trying to build up my Slivers deck, and I'm like, okay, what can I use to combo? How can I combo? Like looking this shit up, and the guy that's working at the store is like, hey, something came in today, and I'd like to show it to you. In case you need it. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, what is this? Like, takes me to like this back room. I'm like all excited what it's going to be. And he pulls out a Sliver Queen. And I'm like, yo, like, this is nuts. I'm like, I really need this. And like I said, our LGS isn't proxy friendly. So I'm like, fuck. Like, okay, how much money is this thing cost me? He's like, yeah, it's going to be $275. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is this shit? And my stupid ass, I'm impulsive. I bought the fucker. Because I'm like, I need this card. Because I'm like, I'm trying to power out Slivers. Like, what the fuck am I going to do? I need a Sliver Queen. It's like the best card to combo with. I had like Ashnod's Altar, Sliver Queen, Basal Sliver. I have the ability to go infinite, but I've never done it before and like didn't know how. And I remember they invited me to come play on Mondays, and they're like, this is the CDH night. So you got to come up on Mondays and you got to play. And like, bring your Slivers deck. We know you don't think it's the best, but like, you might have a good time. And before we all get there early and we all play like beforehand. And I remember we went, we got there early and we started to jam some games. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take this one fucking seriously. And I won on turn three with like Sliver combo by like throwing down like a Bloom Tender, then Sliver Queen, then like, tutored in my deck for the Ashnod's Altar and like went infinite like immediately on turn three, and it felt so crazy. I'm like, yeah, this is the fucking shit. And like I would play specifically with the Tutor Sliver. What's the Tutor Sliver?
Overlord. I couldn't tell you.
Not Hive Lord.
Overlord.
Is it Hive Lord? Sliver Overlord, that's the one, yeah. Where it lets you like tutor for like three mana, yeah. Because I could just like dump into play every Sliver that I owned and then like go to combat and like win. And it was like super sick. And I was like, yeah, turn three win. This is what competitive is. And then I played in the actual tournament and got fucking stomped because I was playing fucking Slivers. And it was like really disappointing. And then I built Jessica Ishai because I wanted like a real competitive deck.
There you go.
But like that was like my first experience. I just always remember that because that's the first reserve list card I ever bought in my life. It was like my first like input into CDH. It was a deck that was like cool, but like I wasn't like super high on, but it was what I had and I used it to play competitively. And like, look at me now. I haven't looked back since. And now I own like six decks and I spend way too much money and I own too many reserve list cards.
I think probably a lot of us know, you know, that CDH or that, not even CDH, but like that experience. Deck that you started with to try to like actually start winning. I think mine was Kalia. I, you know, bought the pre-con and then added a bunch of random shit to it, you know, and they're like, oh man, Lightning Greaves, you know. And now you look and you're like, Lightning Greaves, who cares about that? Yeah.
Okay. I'm so on top of things. Oh, Niv-Mizzet. Niv-Mizzet's still a cracked deck.
Mine was Azami.
Azami.
But it was good one. After I left it up too.
Look, I'm so on top of things that I have it right here. My first ever reserve list card is the Sliver Queen. And it was near mint too. So like, I guess I got a good price.
How much
for it.
Was that?
I think they charged me $275, but the guy that sold me the card was a cool dude, so he dropped it to $250.
Oh, but, super cool.
Well, because I was like, I don't know if I could buy it. I've never bought something, a piece of cardboard for this much money. He's like, what if I do $250? I'm like, yeah. That's
what I'm gonna do. And then now you're like, $250, say less. I'll buy that shit. Good
do you
deal.
Do you take American Express?
Basically, I think the last card I got was a Gaia's Cradle. So like, it shows how I feel about cards now. I bought a Cradle and a Survival in the same night.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's my story. Like my first tournament experience, and like it was super impactful. Like now I make content, and all my friends are a part of my like our podcast that we do, Kian, and it's like a great fucking time. I love it.
That's where a lot of these things start, you know. Even with the tournaments and your podcast and all that, it almost always starts with a group of friends.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know? So that was Bergie's Corner. Make sure to join the Discord and put in the Bergie's Corner chat your stories about your favorite tournament experience. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to chat. We'd love to hear what everybody else's stories are, and it really helps us to get a better sense of the community, our community specifically, and we hope that you get a better sense of who we are as individuals and players and get to know us a little bit better. So, you know, hop in the Discord and have a good time. So to move to our cleanup step, all right, the end of the podcast. Chaos, Foss, I'm going to let you guys chill what you guys do one more time before we end the episode.
Oh, basically, come play. Real easy. Again, our website's going to be down in the description. Everything is on there. We have links to all the Discords, you know, Sadnaws and the tournaments, PlaySpace. Signups are on there. Literally everything's on there. Also, Foss...
What's up?
If you can show him that cool mat that we have okay. Mats, we have play mats for sale now. I think he might have to get it. He just got his today.
I just got mine today.
And mine's supposed to be here either tomorrow or Friday.
The camera. Ooh. It's pretty hard.
They're pretty sweet. Obviously, his has his name on it, but they came out like they're sweet, and they have like the stitched edging, so they don't get all like. You know, stringy and stuff.
Call.
Oh man, I can't wait to get
stitched play.
Hey,
yours aren't stitched.
We had the option. I'm like, who wants stitched play mats? And then as soon as
oh no,
it, I regretted it. I was like, oh no, we need stitched play mats.
But no, they came out super awesome. So if you guys are interested, that's also on the website, our Patreon, as well as the Sadnaws guys. You know, for helping us out, you know, so we can keep doing events like this. And, you know, obviously for that, well, I'm sure you'll do this yourself, but, you know, for content and tournaments and prize support. And while our judges and staff don't require us to compensate them,
we would very much
obviously
like
we really like to. So that's another thing that the Patreon goes to. Also, you would be amazed how much shipping cost goes into sending out 40, 50 different envelopes for all the giveaways and prizes and this and that. It's not cheap.
Not at all.
but mainly just check out the website.
Yep.
Everything's on there. It's chaostournaments.com, but the link will be down in the description.
Yeah, and again, we'll have more events coming up. We may have new formats we might be trying to dip our toes into. All that stuff. So check it out. We appreciate any other questions. We'd be happy to answer if you have questions for us. But yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And I will reiterate for you guys how important that Patreon is. I know I'm a patron for Chaos Tournaments, and I've never regretted giving you guys a dime ever since. So, like, if you guys want to support Chaos and want to support what they do and ensure that they can continue to do amazing tournaments like this, please go support them on Patreon, because like it helps way more than you could ever imagine. And we love what they do, so we gladly support them, so you should too.
As much as we hate saying please send us money, there's way more overhead than you'd think, especially for free tournaments. And most of it goes to prizes, to our judge staff and to shipping costs. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and then for those of you that haven't already joined our Discord, what the hell are you waiting for? Get in there. We pride ourselves on being one of the more community-driven content groups, and we love the feedback that we get from everybody in our Sadnoz family. So you can talk to us about episodes, get deck building advice, talk to Chaos and Foss about tournaments or just what they do, or just chat about your day. We are also local to the Milwaukee metro area, and we have channels specifically dedicated to local meetup games, tournament locations, LGS times, play dates, and just any local discussions regarding any of that kind of stuff. So if you haven't already, please join, because we would love to have you there. And finally, whether you're listening on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else that you can find podcasts, please like, subscribe, leave a comment, drop us a review, or share us with your friends. It really helps with growing our channel and gives us the ability to work with new people like Chaos and Foss or other content channels, and just helps reach a new audience as well. And with that, we'll end the episode here. So you guys have a great week, and we'll see you on the next one. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.